This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Minnesota Congressman John Klein, Republican, representing the Gopher State's 2nd Congressional District. He was also a member of the bipartisan summit at the Blair House on Thursday, especially given his role as the ranking Republican on the House Education and Labor Committee. We want to get his thoughts as being a participant in that meeting and where he thinks this debate goes from here. And Congressman, always great to have you with us.
Great to be with you.
Well, let's start with what you thought of the atmosphere in the room. Obviously, it was televised, so we could see a lot of it. But did you get the sense there was interest in common ground, or was it more just about airing the different positions the parties have?
Well, we obviously had hoped that we'd be able to push that huge bill off the table and talk about things that we really might agree on. Unfortunately, the president insisted on the Senate bill, 2,700 pages, with his 11-page modification. And as long as that stayed there, it was clear that we weren't going to get a real bipartisan solution here. No matter what idea that we offered, the response generally was, well, we have something like that in this bill. And then, frankly, I found it a little bit annoying, a little bit offensive, that when one of my Republican colleagues, as several of them did, would actually refer to the bill and quote the bill, the president felt obliged to scold them for using such a prop. And I thought that was extraordinary, and it certainly didn't help the atmosphere. You know, my friend Dave Camp was sitting two seats from me. He's a senior Republican on the Ways and Means Committee. And when he quoted a page, I think it was 1,900 and something like that in the bill, the president was taken aback by that. He didn't think it was proper that, you know, that we would quote a page like that, particularly with such a high number, because that did, of course, underscore that this is a monstrous bill. And when our whip, Eric Cantor, started quoting from the bill, then the president literally scolded him and said, well, that's the problem. You've got that as a prop here, and it's keeping us from talking about real solutions. Well, the problem was that as long as that bill is the basis from it, we weren't going to be able to get to real solutions.
Hmm. Congressman, obviously, you were there for about 7 hours, and many different things were said. Do you believe the American people have a better idea now of where your party stands and where the key differences are?
I think so. I think one of the things that certainly came out of this, from my perspective, from our perspective, is the fact that we actually have recommended solutions. And we have been hearing, as you know, for months and months from the president and from some of our Democrat colleagues, that where Republicans just say no to everything. They're just the party of no. They don't have any ideas. Well, it's true that we've been voting no against some horrible public policy like the failed stimulus bill and the cap and tax bill and this huge, over 2,000 pages of health care bill, but we have had what we think are really better solutions. We've offered them up, and this gave us the opportunity for the president and the Democrats to not only acknowledge that we had ideas, but they actually started to debate them or make claims like, well, that's, we really have something almost like that in the bill. So it did serve the purpose, if you will, or give us the opportunity to just demonstrate absolutely without any doubt that Republicans care about this issue, are engaged in the issue, and have been or are continuing to offer our own ideas for better solutions.
Congressman, you mentioned that when the bill was produced on the table or even referenced by a page number, that the president was a little bit prickly in his response. Another time it seemed that happened was when the process was discussed, certainly the encounter with Senator McCain, and also when the discussion of reconciliation came up. What did you make of how that was, a lot of people think, dismissed, essentially, and how that Senate bill got put together?
No, I think those were good points, and Senator McCain was making the point that this bill still contains a lot of these backroom deals that the American people clearly object to. And he pointed some of them out and finally got, I think the second or third time, he pointed out that there was a carve-out for 800,000 senior citizens on Medicare Advantage in Florida, but not anywhere else. The president finally agreed that wasn't acceptable. But it's talked to the point that the process was horribly flawed, and insisting that we keep this flawed piece of legislation as the basis for any prospect of going forward is just a mistake. And the reconciliation issue I thought was interesting because Senator Alexander brought it up right from the beginning and asked the president to just say, we're not going to use this parliamentary gimmick in order to pass this flawed legislation. And the president wouldn't do it, and he said he would address it at the end. And it's a little bit, you got to sort of read between the lines, but what I heard the president say at the end of the 7 hours was, well, if we'd like Republicans to agree with some of our ideas here and get on board, but if you can't do that, well, then we'll just have to press ahead some other way. And what he said was that Majority Leader Reid and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he also mentioned the House, Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner, would have to work out some process, a way of saying, we're going to push the thing through anyway.
Congressman, he also mentioned the six-week deadline. What do you expect to happen in the meantime? Is it just going to be a lot of arm-twisting among House Democrats to get the Senate bill through there before they can deal with the changes the president wants to see?
Well, it will be interesting to see what they do. They're going to have to, now that the president has put his 11 pages up there, they're going to have to change the Senate bill. Not a lot, but they're going to have to make some changes. The president's already said that they're taking out the Cornhusker kickback. That was Senator Nelson's special deal involving Medicaid for Nebraska. And once you start to take that out, then, of course, you have to vote on it again in the Senate, and that's presumably when they would want to use this 51-vote parliamentary reconciliation deal. But as I understand it, they have agreed, the Democrats in Congress, have agreed that it would come up, this rewritten bill would come up in the House first, and the Senate would not take it up and vote on it until it passed the House. I would venture to say that if the Senate bill as it is now, even with the Cornhusker kickback taken out of it, cannot pass the House. So they're going to have to make some more changes to it. They're going to have to address, frankly, the taxpayer funding of abortions, because without the language that my Democratic colleague Bart Stupak put in the House, I don't see it how it has the votes in the House. So they've got some more work to do. Unfortunately, they're probably going to go back behind the door again, the Democrats in the House and Senate, and start to rewrite this bill with the president's new 11-page guidance. And then we'll see what comes out. But a major hurdle that they have to get past is getting it into a form where it can get the 218 votes in the House.
Last 30 seconds, sir. You mentioned there were some good things that came out of yesterday, including the fact the American people know now where Republicans stand on a lot of these components. In the end, was it worth your 7 hours?
Well, I believe it was. I frankly don't think that we had a whole lot of alternative. The president said he wanted to talk in a bipartisan way. We were skeptical because he kept insisting on the bill. But I don't think that it ever really was an option, as long as he kept saying he wanted to talk in a bipartisan way, that we wouldn't go.
Very interesting. Well, we'll certainly keep track of all the twists and turns as it moves forward. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
Minnesota Congressman John Klein, top Republican on the House Education and Labor Committee, represents his state's 2nd Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.